Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
During a heated election. And guess what, everybody? I still have my job. So the reason we're doing this series is it's really not because I like to stir up drama. It's not because I'm trying to get fired. It really isn't. It's because I believe that this is a message we all desperately need to hear to help us as a country begin to thrive again. With my ultimate goal being not to tell you who to vote for or what to believe. Now, what I'm trying to do, regardless of what side you belong to, and by the way, we've got both in this church, whether you like it or not, is I am trying to show you how to live Christian. Or how not to get caught up in all the nastiness that our politics have become, so in turn we can become the people of light, right? The people that are showing everybody else a better way forward, because the way it's going now, it is not working. Now, as many of you have experienced, what we've been attempting to do over the last 3 weeks is we have taken one of the foundational teachings from the Old Testament, Micah 6:8, and have used that to help us create an easy-to-memorize paradigm regarding what it is that God requires of us, what it is that God wants us to do during this election. And what we've learned is that there are basically three things that God requires of us. Be just, be kind, be humble. And you better have that stuff memorized, people. Be just, be kind, be humble. Justice referring to how as the people of God we are being called to stand and fight for what we believe is right. Kindness being all about treating people who see the world in different ways, not as our enemies, but as fellow citizens and neighbors who were called and loved, they're called to love and care for. And humbleness being about always keeping in mind that there's more than a strong possibility, given who we are as limited human beings, that we could be wrong. We could actually be wrong, which in turn allows us to listen to and have conversations with people who see the world differently instead of continuing to condemn and fight against them as our enemies. And all because what giving ourselves to being just, kind, and humble does is it helps us to get away from the way many of us have been doing politics for years, which, by the way, is clearly not working. And how many of you are really happy when you think anything politics? Is it making your life better in any way? No, it's not doing anybody any good. So please, what I'm trying to get you guys to see here is we need to change so that we can become a part of the light that is helping to show everyone a better way forward. So again, and I want you guys to say it with me this time, be just, be kind, be humble. One more time, be just, be kind, be humble. That's what it looks like for us to live Christian during this heated election. But now that you guys are starting to understand all of that, what I would like to do today to really make you uncomfortable is we're going to get into how the fruits of the Spirit actually give us a way to keep track of how we're doing as Christians when it comes to this election. So you guys ready for this? I'm going to need a little more. There we go. So Paul opens by saying this in Galatians 5:13 through 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, I'm not going to talk about that last line too much today, but I think you need to stick that in your craw when it comes to this election. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, what Paul is doing simply to kind of begin this argument, he's basically telling these Galatians who have chosen to follow Jesus, who have chosen to be Christians, that they have now been set free from the law of Moses. And that now that they've decided to become Christians, that means no longer are they a part of the old covenant, but they're now a part of the new covenant. And as members of this new covenant, they're no longer bound to keep all the rules and regulations of the Jewish law, but are now free to completely follow Jesus. And yet, the freedom that Paul is talking about here is not the kind of freedom where anything goes. It's not the kind of freedom that just allows people to go out and do whatever they want, whenever they want. No, what freedom in Christ looks like, according to Paul, It's people giving themselves to serving one another in love. That's true Christian freedom. And yet what Paul does after that, after he sets up this foundation, is he then goes on and tells them about what it looks like to freely follow Jesus by setting up this dichotomy between people who live according to the flesh and people who live according to the Spirit. Or Paul begins his explanation by saying this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. But they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And to take all of the complexity that is wrapped up in there and make it real simple for you, basically what Paul's telling the Galatians here is there's two different ways to choose to live your life, right? There's the way of the Spirit, which is where, as God's Spirit comes to reside in you, you give yourself to listening to and being guided by the Holy Spirit. Then there's the way of the flesh. And what Paul is doing here is he's not necessarily condemning that part of us that is flesh and blood, because I know so many people get caught up in that. Our bodies aren't evil. God created us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. No, what Paul's talking about here is how we choose to give into the cravings of our flesh instead of choosing the way of God. Or to really get your head around this, just think of those cartoons or those movies where the main character is struggling with this really big decision. You guys know what I'm talking about. On one shoulder, you have an angel telling them what God would want them to do. And then on the other shoulder, you have this devil figure telling them not to listen to what God wants and to do what they want to do. Or you guys know exactly what I'm talking about here, because this is something we deal with on a daily basis in every part of our lives, where we have to decide, are we going to choose to listen to the guiding of the Spirit by following the way of Jesus, or are we going to choose to listen to ourselves and just go out and do whatever we want? That's the way of the Spirit. But as you know, and as Paul points out, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't be a person of the flesh and the Spirit at the exact same time, right? They're in contradiction with one another. You got to choose one way or the other. But then what Paul does after he kind of sets up this dichotomy is he then gets pretty specific regarding what it will look like to live according to the flesh and what it will look like to live according to the Spirit, or what's going to come oozing out of you regardless of what side you pick. So he goes in this way. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Or what Paul is pointing out here is if you choose to follow the way of the flesh, you choose your own ways, then that's the kind of fruit you can expect to produce in your life. Right? Behaviors, sexual immorality, hatred, discord, fits of rage, and on we could go with a whole lot of horrible ways to live your life. Or if you are someone who chooses to simply chase after what you want, this is what your life is going to look like. These are the behaviors that are going to come spilling out of you. But then on the flip side of that, Paul goes on to say this about living according to the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Or if you choose to live according to the Spirit, then what's going to happen is you're going to end up producing these kind of fruits. This is what your life is going to look like: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And yeah, it really is that simple. It really is that simple. Choose to live according to the flesh and you're going to get these behaviors. Choose to live according to the Spirit and you're going to get these behaviors. But here's where it gets really, really interesting to me and why I think this matters for us today. Is if you kind of step back a little bit and look at this dichotomy that Paul has set up, not only has he told us what it looks like to live according to the Spirit and the flesh, but he also has given us a way to keep track or a way to keep score of how we're doing as Christians when it comes to following Jesus. In that, if we are producing the fruits of the flesh, then guess what that means? We're living in a fleshful way. But if we produce the fruits of the Spirit, then that means we're living according to the Spirit. Very simple, very straightforward. In a sense, it's kind of a black and white thing. What kind of fruit are you producing is how you can tell how you're doing in following in the way of Christ. But now that you're starting to see all of that, it's time to get really, really uncomfortable. Who's up for it? Yes, there we go. So what I want you to do is I don't care what side you belong to, I want you to take a moment and think about the presidential candidate for the other team. That's right. If you are a Republican, I want you to think about Kamala Harris. Is that how you say it? Kamala Harris, excuse me, I got it wrong. Or if you're a Democrat, I want you to think of Donald Trump. And I give you a moment, because I know what that's going to do to you, to let you begin to simmer and stir in that. So now what I want you to do as you're thinking about that is not only become aware of the feelings and the visceral reaction you have to that person, but even more importantly, I want you to think about your behavioral response to that candidate. I want you to think about what comes oozing out of you, what wells up inside of you when you think of them. Or maybe to push even further, I want you to think about all the things that you have said to others about that other candidate or about the other team. Well, it got quiet all of a sudden. What's going on here? Yeah, I think we're all a little guilty of that, right? But now that you're in that place, the question I think you have to ask, which is the most important question, is what kind of fruit do you produce when it comes to that person? What is your behavioral response, and does it look anything like the fruits of the Spirit? Or, like the rest of us, does the kind of fruit you produce in this area of your life look more like hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy? Or how many of you, if you get really honest with yourselves, when you think about that other candidate, that other team, you have this kind of hatred that rises up on the inside of you, even getting to the point where you can get so angry that you find yourself experiencing fits of rage? Or how many of you, when dealing with people who see the world differently, have experienced the discord and the chaos it creates when you just try to have a conversation? Or how many of you have gotten really, really good at breaking into factions and going to war with the people you disagree with? Well, what all of that puts into perspective is that even as Christians who are supposed to know better, or the kind of people who are supposed to be walking according to the Spirit in every area of life, when it comes to politics, what has happened? And both sides are just as guilty. Don't you be pointing fingers at one another on this one. Is that to a certain extent, we have all become a people of the flesh. Or for some reason, when it comes to the political sphere, it has become okay and even expected to leave the Spirit behind and give ourselves to doing what feels good, to giving ourselves to living according to the flesh. And for me, what I think all of that has to teach us is that as this election turns the corner and we're headed towards the big vote in November and things are heating up, because things are going to get crazy, right? It's already started. It's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Maybe what we need to be doing as a people who have devoted our lives to following Jesus is not to continue to get caught up in all the nastiness. It's not to continue to live in the same way according to the flesh. No, instead, maybe what we need to be doing, in spite of how everyone else is acting, is giving ourselves even more to following Jesus by listening to and being guided by his Spirit. And of course, the way that you can know that you're doing that right is not by winning an argument. It's not by making your opponent look stupid or even continuing to demonize the other team. But it's by the fruit that you produce. Because if the kind of fruit that you're producing is fruits of the Spirit, then you know you're getting it right. You need to do more and more of that. You need to lean into that. But if you happen to be like the rest of us who are producing fruits of the flesh when it comes to this election, you know, things like hatred, discord, jealousy, and fits of rage, then you're getting it wrong. And not only that, but you're not living into God's will. You're not doing all that God requires of you, which ultimately means you've got to make a change. Or the uncomfortable truth is, I'm pretty sure that every single one of us sitting in here today, when it comes to politics, probably needs to change a whole lot of things to keep from being the kind of people who are only adding to the problem. And all because not only is God calling us to be just, kind, and humble, but he's also calling us to be the kind of people who live according to the Spirit during this election and in every other place in our lives. And I told you it was going to hurt a little bit, didn't I? But the truth is, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. You guys can write me off. You guys can say, oh, he's just the minister. He didn't know what he's talking about. You can do that, and I'm okay with that. But what if this is really how God's calling us to live? What if God's not calling us to be like everybody else, but to be different, to be a light who shows people a better way forward? No doubt, continuing to be the kind of people who fight for what we believe in. But what if we also were people of the Spirit in everything that we do? Well, my hypothesis is that not only would it make our lives better, but we would actually play a part in helping to heal this broken country that we live in, and maybe even making the world better. So it's your choice. I hope you make the right choice. But more than that, I hope you remember this as the election comes and you get caught up in it. Be just, be kind, be humble. And look and see what kind of fruit that you're producing in the midst of all this. Let us pray. Father, again, this is another one of those heavy sermons where we got to wrestle, where we got to talk about things we don't want to talk about. But it is my hope, Lord, that you will help us to see that just like you do in every single way in our lives, you're calling us to live different. You're calling us not to just get caught up in the way things are, but instead to be a people who follow your Spirit, a people who give ourselves so much to following in your way that the fruit that we produce in our life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So Lord, help us to do what you are calling us to do. Help us to be a people who follow your will, even when everybody else is going against it, so we really can become the light that so desperately needs to be shining in this country to help show everyone a better way forward. Lord, we ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.